Hi everyone, and welcome back. I'm James.
And I'm Lisa. Today, we're diving into a topic that's close to every teacher's heart: measuring success in the classroom and planning next steps. It's all about using reflective practices to help both teachers and students grow.
Exactly. So, Lisa, let's start with something simple. Imagine you're in a classroom, and you see a teacher using a strategy called Plan Check Reflect. What does that actually look like in practice?
Great question, James. Picture this: a teacher starts their lesson by modeling what's called a think aloud. They might say something like, "Today, my goal is to solve this type of problem. I'll start by planning my steps, check if they're working midway, and reflect on what went well at the end." They're showing students how to think about their thinking.
Ah, got it. So they're not just teaching content, but teaching how to approach learning itself. And then the students get involved, right?
Exactly. Students might fill out a one-page planning template before they start their work. During the lesson, they pause to evaluate their progress, maybe using something like traffic light cards: green for I'm good, yellow for I'm unsure, and red for I need help. At the end, they write a short reflection, like, "What worked for me today? What's my next step?"
That sounds manageable. And I imagine it's a habit you build over time?
Absolutely. It's not a one-and-done thing. You start small, maybe focus on just one routine like this for a couple of weeks. And over time, these steps become second nature for students. The key is to scaffold it, fade the prompts gradually, and make the reflection process social.
I like that. And I'm guessing teachers use some kind of data to figure out what's working and what's not, right?
Right again. Teachers can use tools like exit tickets to gather evidence. For example, if a class shows very dispersed outcomes, some students doing really well and others struggling, it might not always be about ability. Sometimes, it's about whether students actually planned and monitored their work effectively. That's where process data comes in.
So the teacher might look at that data and say, "Okay, students who struggled didn't really plan their steps," and then focus on teaching that skill more explicitly?
Exactly. And alongside that, formative feedback is crucial. Teachers should focus on praising strategy changes and reflective thinking. This not only strengthens student skills, but also boosts their self-esteem and intrinsic motivation.
Okay, let's make this really practical. Imagine I'm a teacher, and I want to try this in my classroom tomorrow. What's my checklist?
Here's a quick one for you. First, model a think aloud to show how to plan. Second, have students fill out a planning template before they start their work. Third, prompt them to stop and monitor progress during the activity. This could be with traffic light cards or partner checks. Fourth, ask them to write a 1-to-2-sentence exit reflection. And finally, include at least one rubric item that assesses their strategy or reflection, not just the final product.
That's brilliant. Straightforward and actionable. Now, let's switch gears a bit. What about self-assessment and goal setting for students? How does that fit into all of this?
Self-assessment and goal setting are like the backbone of metacognition. When students learn to judge their own work and set thoughtful, realistic targets, they take ownership of their learning. And that's where genuine motivation starts to build.
Right. But self-assessment can be tricky, can't it? I mean, some students might not feel confident enough to evaluate themselves honestly.
You're spot on, James. That's why creating a positive, safe classroom atmosphere is step one. Students need to feel valued before they'll evaluate themselves honestly. Once that's in place, you can teach them how to self-assess using tools like rubrics or exemplars.
Can you give us an example of how a teacher might introduce this to their class?
Sure. A teacher might say something like, "Today, we're going to learn how to judge our own work." Why? Because if you can tell what you still need, you can fix it. We'll start small. After each lesson, you'll answer 3 quick prompts and tick a checklist. I'll show you how, and we'll practice together. It's about framing self-assessment as a tool for growth, not judgment.
I love that. And once students get the hang of it, they can start setting their own goals, right?
Exactly. Goal setting helps students turn vague wishes into concrete actions. For instance, instead of saying, "I want to be better at maths," a student might set a smart goal like, "I will practice 15 minutes of fraction problems 5 times a week and use 3 strategies to check my answers."
SMART goals: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And you mentioned process goals earlier. How do those fit in?
Process goals focus on the steps students need to take, rather than just the end result. So alongside a performance goal like, improve my test score from 60% to 75%, a process goal might be, I will draft 2 paragraphs and revise them using a checklist 2 times a week. Process goals build competence and self-esteem because they're about effort and strategy, not just outcomes.
That makes so much sense. And I imagine tracking progress is key as well.
Absolutely. Students can use tools like trackers or learning journals to monitor their progress. A simple weekly tracker might include columns for the date, what task they worked on, how much time they spent, what went well, what they'd change, and a confidence rating from 1 to 5.
And the teacher's role in all of this?
Teachers model how to use these tools, check them briefly during lessons, and provide quick, formative feedback. It's all about creating short cycles of practice, self-assessment, and adjustment. Over time, students internalize these habits and become more independent learners.
Lisa, this has been such a practical discussion. Before we wrap up, what's one piece of advice you'd give to a teacher who's just starting with this?
Start small. Pick one self-assessment routine, like a simple checklist or reflection prompt, and use it consistently for 1 or 2 weeks. Build from there. The key is to make it routine and visible, so it becomes a natural part of the classroom culture.
That's fantastic advice. Well, thanks so much, Lisa, and thank you to all our listeners. We hope you found today's episode helpful.
Yes, thank you. And remember, small changes in how we teach can lead to big changes in how students learn.